the third Sunday in Advent. Brethren, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety, but in every prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. The gospel is taken from that of St. John. At that time, the Jews sent to John from Jerusalem priests and Levites to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he acknowledged and did not deny, and he acknowledged, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he said, "I am not. Art thou the prophet?" And he answered, "No." They therefore said to him, "Who art thou, that we may give answer to those who sent us? What hast thou to say of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said Isaiah the prophet." And they who had been sent were from among the Pharisees. And they said to him, "Why dost thou baptize if thou art not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John said to them in answer, "I baptize with water, but in the midst of you there has stood one whom you do not know. It is he who is to come after me, and who has been set above me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to loose." These things took place at Bethany, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Today, the epistle, and also, of course, the introit, says rejoice. We are to rejoice in the coming of our Savior, Christ, whose birth we will be celebrating soon. Remember that during Advent is a season of violet. It is a little penitential season. Of course, this is completely forgotten today, that it is a penitential season. So today is a little break in that penance so that we can concentrate on what we are striving for, that is the celebration of the birth of Christ. So John the Baptist is baptizing in today's gospel. Now remember, baptism is a Greek word, and it means washing or cleansing. And this did not specifically mean the religious ceremony, the sacrament of baptism. At the time, it meant washing, but then there were different ceremonies that were related to this. But the word itself, traditionally, or in Greek, just meant washing. It was then later on, where now when you mention baptism, you only think of the sacrament of baptism. And so it's important to understand that the baptism that St. John the Baptist was doing is not our sacrament of baptism. He was not giving the sacrament of baptism. He was doing a symbolic act by which people would come and they would wash in the Jordan River. He would do this external symbol of pouring water over them, or actually probably immersing them, in order to symbolize the spiritual action of putting off the sins. But it wasn't a sacrament. There was nothing happening spiritually. It was just a sign of people trying to make a statement about, I want to put off the things of sin. I want to try to be holier. I want to try to make room, you know, for God in my life. Of course, they didn't quite understand Christ and his coming, but St. John was there preparing for him so that people's hearts would be ready. But there was nothing supernatural happening. It's important to understand this. The baptism that we celebrate now, the baptism of Christ, is a sacrament. That is, there is a supernatural action that occurs. Now, in baptism, we have the water and the word. In the Gospel of St. John, our Lord says, "Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now, The Spirit is referring to the spiritual things that occur. That is, the actual forgiveness of sins. In Ephesians, St. John is a little clearer. He says, He, Christ, cleansed the church by the washing of the water with the Word. This was one of the early terms for baptism. The washing with the Word. And so this highlights actually what happens in baptism. We take the water, we pour it over the person, or you can do full immersion baptism, but the key is it has to be a sign of washing, a symbol of washing. So water has to flow across the skin in some way. So we pour the water over the baby or the adult, and we say the word. What are we doing? I baptize you. Baptize is the word for wash. I wash you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And that symbol, that sign then, the spiritual cleansing occurs by that sign. So what St. John the Baptist did, it was just a sign, but nothing occurred. Our sacrament of baptism, the sign then has the power to do what it signifies. The soul is cleansed. It would be like if I rub my hands together. You know, I'm at a dinner party. Kind of do this to the host. This might be a lot of people in the room. I do like this. Meaning everybody should understand that I would like to wash my hands here, okay? And the host just kind of points over and I figure out where the bathroom is. That's a sign of what I want to do. I want to wash my hands. But it's not the washing itself. That is the baptism of St. John. It's just a sign that I want to be spiritually cleansed. But it doesn't do the spiritual cleansing. It would be like if I could just do that, rub my hands together, and my hands would become clean, that God decided to say, whenever you do that, do this kind of sign, your hands would be clean, cleansed. You don't have to actually use water. You don't have to do anything. And then they would be cleansed. That is what a sacrament does. It is not just a sign. It's a sign that does what it signifies. And that is the spiritual cleansing. So, we have baptism. Now, what exactly does it do? What happens? All effects of sin, all sin is removed. That is, personal sins and also original sin at baptism. They are all removed. Not only that, but any punishment due to the sin. So if a person's in mortal sin, of course, they're deserving of hell, so that punishment of hell is taken away. But also all purgatory, all temporal punishment is also taken away completely. If you recall, this is different than confession, where you, of course, are forgiven of sin, but you might still have what we call the temporal punishment. You have to do penance to undo some of the effects of the sin. In baptism, that's not the case. Everything is taken away. The one thing that remains, though, in baptism is concupiscence. Now, we've talked about concupiscence. It's been a while now. Concupiscence. It is something in us that comes from sin, as the Council of Trent says. It comes from sin, and it leads to sin, but it is not sin. Another way we can look at concupiscence is our natural desires, our natural appetites, which are not in proper control. And so anything like our desire for food, our desire for some kind of material things that we all need some kind of material things, our natural desire to reproduce, our desire for proper respect, those are out of control. And so those are what we say, an inordinate desire for those. And those are what we call things like lust, gluttony, pride, vainglory. These are the capital vices. They arise, they are inordinate natural desires. We're not saying that it's wrong completely. It's just, it's not in the proper order. This is what concupiscence is. And this is not taken away at baptism. St. Augustine has comments on this in the beginning of his Confessions. He talks about how even little children have these desires, and that this is what we have to fight against. So that is not taken away. What else happens? We get various graces. So God not only washes us from sin, but then he gives us the ability to resist it. God doesn't ask the impossible. He gives us the various theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity, the moral virtues, prudence, justice, fortitude, temperance. Also, the gifts of the Holy Ghost can occur. We don't want to say that they're completely given, but they occur. The Holy Ghost can move us in certain ways. We also get other virtues in order to do what? To do good and avoid evil, to live the life free from sin. In addition, what else happens? We get what's called a character. That is, the soul is impressed, is marked with a character, the baptismal character, and it can never be removed. It will last for all eternity. Even souls who are baptized, who are in hell, they still have this mark. And it is to their shame that they have it, because they've failed, even though they were given this great grace. But everyone who is baptized receives this mark on their soul. They're marked with the mark of Christ, and it lasts forever. This is one of the reasons why baptism can never be repeated, because you're only marked once. You're conformed to Christ only once. Remember, sin is taken away. That original sin, the sin which is passed down to us from Adam, is taken away. And we are marked with the mark of Christ. And this is how then the final effect is: we are incorporated into his kingdom. Christ came to save us. We are born once biologically into this world, and then a second time spiritually into his kingdom. At the last gospel, we talk about this. It says, I'll quote it here: to all who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. This is reference to the second birth. It doesn't matter what we want. That baptism of John, the people wanted to be cleansed of the spiritual things, but they can't. No matter how hard we desire it, we cannot do it ourselves. It is only by the will of God that that can occur. And this is why we, immediately after that, St. John says, it is the will of God by which we are reborn. And then he says, and the Word was made flesh, and we genuflect, in order to symbolize that, in order to recognize that it is not by our will that we are saved, but it is by Christ's will that we receive that second birth, that we become a member of his kingdom. The Word was made flesh in order to save us. And so today we rejoice in that coming, the coming of Christ. The little baby in Bethlehem was born into this world to die in order to make us members of his kingdom. So let us rejoice in that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.